Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the aspect of our aqaid, yesterday we mentioned regards to iman. Today, inshallah, we mention regards to kufr. Kufr in Sharia is the opposite of iman. To reject a single item which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam conveyed to mankind, the authenticity of which is certain and undisputable, is known as kufr. This rejection may be, firstly, by the expression of the tongue, openly or by indication, or secondly, to have doubts on any of the articles of faith in the heart. The following persons are kafirs. One who denies any attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example, he says that Allah ta'ala is not omnipresent, or does not have power over everything, or does not respond to the prayer of everybody, or does not comprehend all things, or he says that Allah ta'ala is not eternal. Secondly, the one who believes that man evolved from a monkey, or that everything came into existence through a big bang. That one who says that he does not fear Allah ta'ala, or one who loses hope in his mercy. Number four, one who doubts or denies any quality or the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, one who prostrates to or presents an offering or sacrifice to someone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, one who rejects the nabuwat of any nabi. Example, he says that Nabi Musa alayhi salam was not a nabi, or that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a nabi. Number seven, one who believes in any Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is, one who rejects the finality of Nabuwat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number eight, one who believes any person to be equal or superior in rank to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number nine, one who speaks ill of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam or any other Nabi. Number ten, one who jests or mocks at any Nabi or the teachings or actions of any Nabi. Number 11, one who claims that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not deliver the complete deen for fear of certain enemies. To hold this belief is also kufr. Number 12, one who claims that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's explanations of certain events and things were not in accordance with reality, but were merely to entice the masses into the acceptance of Islam. Similarly, one says mockingly, what benefit will I derive in practicing on the sunnah? Number 13, one who rejects any of the divine scriptures or claims any portion of the original divine scripture to be wrong. Number 14, one who intentionally shows disrespect to the Quran or a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number 15, one who does not accept the clear and apparent meanings of the Quran and hadith and fabricates meaning to suit his personal desires. Number 16, one who denies the existence of angels or believes the angels to be the daughters of Allah ta'ala. Number 17, one who denies the physical resurrection of man on the day of Qiyamah. Number 18, one who denies the physical or material existence of Jannat and Jahannam. Number 19, one who denies any injunction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is soundly proven. Example, Salah, fasting, Zakat, Hajj, inheritance, capital punishment, Hijab, Jihad, prohibition of alcohol, interest, gambling, etc. And number 20, one who is displeased with any law of the Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from all these, inshaAllah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, yesterday the 25th para was recited in the Quran, in the Tarawih Salam, and there are many, many lessons we learned from the ayats of the Quran Kareem. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that سَنُرِيهِمْ آيَاتِنَا فِي الْآفَاقِ وَفِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. That indeed we will show them our signs in our horizons and in themselves until they becomes clear to them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the haq, Allah ta'ala is the truth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show scientists, whether it is a normal person, ignorant person, all signs are there, whether it is in the horizons, the universe, the galaxies, the planets, the skies, the sun, the moon, all the heavenly orbits, and everything around us points to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the qudrat and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even our own selves, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned one verse, وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ, that, O insan, why don't you look into yourselves, look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look the wonders of the human anatomy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He created us, how He fashioned us, وَيُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي الْأَرْحَامِ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ, that how He fashioned us and molded us in the wombs of our mothers. And if a person, time does not permit, but if a person just look at a simple thing, so example, every person look at his thumb. Millions of insan today are living, and every person's tongue has little designs on the very thumb of his. And everyone has that what you call thumbprints or fingerprints, but everyone's fingerprints are different from each other. Look at the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today we see how many a person gets so attracted to the technology, and today the cell phone. Mullah Zulfikar Sahib Dawud Barakatuh says, today if we don't handle the cell phone properly, that very cell phone will become a hell phone. In other words, that same cell phone will lead a person towards destruction. We know that the person who uses the phone, he's standing over here, maybe in Azadwal, he's talking on the phone. Person in another province, he's listening to him on having a conversation. In the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, it is mentioned Hayatul Sahaba, on one occasion he was sitting on the minbar of Madinatul Munawwara, and he had sent a jamaat towards Iraq, and over there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a vision of to what was happening, and he saw that the enemies were waiting in ambush to attack the Muslims. So the leader of the jamaat, his name was Sariya. So as Umar radiallahu anhu from Madinatul Munawwara, he said, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, Ya Sariya al-Jabal, that, O Sariya, be careful, behind the mountain there are people waiting for you. And then when he heard the voice of Umar radiallahu anhu, and then he took his precautions, then he overcame the army. When he came back to Madinatul Munawwara, and he related this incident to Umar radiallahu anhu, that I heard your voice, that I was in Iraq, you were in Medina. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, it is true, that everything was placed before me, and I said, Ya Sari al-Jabal, and you heard the voice. Oh, subhanallah, without any means of a cell phone or whatever, this is the qudr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so now, whatever the scientists today, whatever they discover, Mufti Ashiq Ilahi rahmatullahi have mentioned, this only the tip of the iceberg. And today we get so fascinated, and we praise them, that's what breakthroughs they made, such research. But this is only the tip of the iceberg. If they only have to make research of the Quran, the Kareem, then you will come to know the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In next verse, on one of the verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib, that there are two ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guiding a person. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attracts a person. He pulls him like a magnetic force. Allah pulls him. What we call jazb. And the other one is a person himself turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he makes inabat. He inclines and he turns to Allah. Such person Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants hidayat. Hazrat Shakim Akhtar Sahib rahmatullahi has given a whole discourse on this, and alhamdulillah is available in English. Tajalliyat jazb. All the different waqiyas, how the pious people, how they were attracted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like he mentioned the incident of Fudayl bin Iyaz. He mentioned about Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullahi alayhi, and so many, Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi alayhi. So many incidents, how they were caught up in gunas, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attracted them towards himself. One buzruk was walking, as Mashwari Thani mentioned an incident, that one pious person was walking, so the king saw him from the balcony, so he threw his scaling ladder down, and he told this alim, this pious person, to hold onto this ladder, and he told his people on top, the soldiers, to pull the ladder up. And then after making salam to him, he asked this pious person, how did we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this pious person said, in the same way I came to meet you. In other words, just like how you threw the scaling ladder down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala threw his scaling ladder of tawfiq down. And I held onto it, and how you pulled me up, so many Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attracted me. So this jazb is a very great thing. So yeah, very fortunate those people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attract towards himself. And then the second one is وَيَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيمُ. Those people who turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is second meaning that way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide them. Just like Mashmari Tani mentioned, just like a child that is beginning to walk, he will take that few steps and he's about to fall, but the father or mother will catch the child before the child falls down. So many will take that steps, we will reach to Allah, we will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will fall down, you might even fall. But like the poet says, that humne tekiye is tarah se manzile, gir pare, gir kar uthe, utkar chale. That we went, we fell down, we got up and we carried on. So in this way, this will happen. And another example can be given, like a person goes to the airport and he sees from far, now the glass doors are closed. Now he's thinking, I got the ticket in my hand, I got my luggage. Now the doors are closed, how am I going to board the plane? So a person just has to go forward, the senses are there. Just take one step forward, automatically those doors will open. So yeah, when a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not one door, but many doors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open for him. The doors of marifat, of Allah ta'ala's qurb, etc. So yeah, a person should take that initiative and come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Allahu latifun bi'ibadihi yarzuqu man yashaa wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very compassionate towards his bandas, and he grants sustenance to whomsoever he wishes. Wa huwa al-qawiyyul aziz. And Allah is very powerful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very great. In fact, this ayat is written on Masjid Quba, on the Qibla wall in gold, in bold. And there are great lessons to be learned from this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. Before I proceed on one certain itikaf, and Hazrat mentioned that for a person who recites this dua, who recites in fact this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem 25 times, then such a person, inshallah, he will not face any shortfall in his sustenance. If it is a poor person, he may be in need of 100 rand or 1000 rand, inshallah, by him reciting this verse, inshallah, he also will not see any shortfall. Similarly, a millionaire, a person who is in need of thousands or millions, if he reads this, inshallah, he also will not fall short when it comes to sustenance. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look how kind he is, that those people, those non-believers, those atheists, those sinners, and all those people who hate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who swear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't believe in Allah, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them sustenance. Allah grants the fish, the animals, the birds, the whole animal kingdom, Allah grants them sustenance. So there are two points a person should understand. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants necessities of life according to per need. Whatever according to the needs of insan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide it. And second thing is, now look at the rahmat of Allah. Allah does not provide a person his entire lot of sustenance soon as he is born. For example, if the angel had to say you are going to live for 50 years, and now for every year 500 kilograms of food you are going to eat for each year, so now 25,000 kilograms of food, where is the person going to store it? Where is the person going to now keep that thing fresh, etc.? So this is the mercy of Allah. Someone would water. For example, a person is going to use 100,000 liters of water. Now imagine if 100,000 liters are given to each person. In the whole dunya, everyone will be walking with swimming pools all around. That 100,000 liters are to use for istinja, for wuzu, for ghusl. So this is the rahmat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are the ayats a person ought to have yaqeen. And in this part also you learn many things over regards to risk. Sustenance, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees his sustenance, how he manifests himself when regards to the sustenance that is given to people. Like in the next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَوْ بَسَتَ اللَّهُ رِزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to provide abundance of risk for his servants, then what will happen? لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, they will rebel in the earth. They will cause a lot of mischief on the earth. وَلَكِنْ يُنَزِلُ بِقَدْرِ مَا يَشَاءُ, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the sustenance in stipulated measures. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows according to His wisdom how much of sustenance to grant each and every individual. It is mentioned, this ayat was revealed when some Muslims, example the Ashab al-Safa, when they saw the Jews, the Banu Qaynuza, Banu Qaynuka, the Qurayza, and the Banu, the other tribes of the Jews, how they were reveling in sustenance, in opulence and wealth, and enjoying themselves. So they also desired, if only they also be given this wealth. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if this wealth had to be given in abundance, then the nature of insan, then he will use this wealth in my disobedience. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he grants according to his wisdom. Excessive wealth will lead to rebellion and sin, mischief, etc. Now a person might ask the question, that in Jannah, every person will be given so many bounties, so many blessings, and so much of abundance of things. So over there, how is it that no mischief will be caused? So the answer is given that in this world, when a person has wealth, then coupled with that, then the person will have enemies. The receiver will be after him, the crooks will be after him. Not only that, this person himself, then people will be jealous of him. Then the effects of greed and hirs and tamanna, and having desire for more all the time will always come in that person. Whereas in Jannah, the person will be free from all his evil qualities. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a hadith that لو أن الإبن آدم واديا من ذهب, that if the son of Adam had one value of gold, he will not be satisfied till he has another value of gold. And this will carry on, and nothing can fill his belly except the sand of the grave. So these things in Jannah will not be over there. A person's heart will be clean, so bounties will be over there, unlike in this world. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions with regards to certain qualities that when a person boards a car, etc., Allah mentions summa tazkuru ni'mata rabbikum, that remember the ni'mat of your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is astawaytum alayhi, when you board that animal, when you come onto that animal, in our times a car, then what should you say? Wattaqulu. Yeah, the Quran say you should say, not have gadgets that are connected to your cigarette lighter and they read the dua for you. Yeah, the dua, you should read it. And what is the dua? Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha. That purity belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has subjugated this for us. That this, the car that you are driving, maybe the top of the range car, and it can go very, very fast, but nothing is in your control. Everything is in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything can happen. Allah save us. A person has a blowout, what can happen? Even a person may be driving safely, he is driving, he is obeying the rules, but oncoming traffic, maybe a person is overtaking on the other side, and what can happen? So yeah, everything is under the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ, and we have no control of this. وَإِنَّا إِلَىٰ رَبِّنَا لَمُنْقَلِبُونَ, and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our return. Yeah, Mufti Shafi Sahib also mentioned, like when a person is on safar, then he should also have this in mind. We are always in a perpetual safar. Our suffering is always going towards the grave and towards the year after. So wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. So a person should recite this dua. And yeah, also when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put his foot on the stirrup of the horse or the animal, they used to put his right foot first. And alhamdulillah, one of our friends, Wala Salim Rangila from Pochistan, he's got this good habit. We know our cars are right-hand drive, and normally if you come into the car, our left foot goes in first. But he makes sure that his right foot goes in, and then he puts his left foot. So yeah, he's making amal on that sunnah. So yeah, a person should read the dua, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, 3 times, Allahu Akbar, and read the dua, and then read the complete dua, that Allahumma anta sahibu fi safari wal khalifatu fi al-ahli till the end. As Ali radiallahu anhu mentioned, that he used to recite this dua, and then after that he used to look to the sky and smile. So someone asked him, what has prompted you to do this? He said, on an occasion I saw Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam doing the same thing. And thereafter Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when any of my bandas ask forgiveness from me, then Allah says that my banda knows no one will forgive his sins except me. So that is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled, and Ali also smiled. So we also inshallah also make amal on the sunnah. And in the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that نَحْنُ قَسَمْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَعِيشَةٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Here also another ayat. All these ayats with regards to sustenance. Allah says, we are the ones who distribute livelihood amongst you in this worldly life. And the system is وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَهُ فَوْكَ بَعْضٍ, that we give preference to some over others. Why? لِيَتَّخِذَ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا سُخْرِيًّا. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that people can derive benefit from each other. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala system is that Allah has created the system of interdependence, which is the system of civilization. Like how people, there is difference of capabilities in each insan. Similarly, with regards to economic duties, there will be likewise differences. And accordingly, the income will be also different. So now the rich, they have got wealth, but they are in need of the poor for their labor, for their employment. And the poor are in need of the rich to pay them for their services. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system. Like when a person builds a house, then he is not in need of one person, but many people. He's in need of, example, a builder. He's in need of an architect, a plumber, electrician, painter, tiler, and all interior decoration, whatever he needs for the house. So many people are brought together. So yeah, each person is in need of another person. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's system, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this. Similarly, on this point also, that yes, there are people who are doing professions, we need them. But at the same time, that a person should understand with regards to worldly knowledge. Like one person came to Mawlana Sayyid Khan Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi and told him that in our community, alhamdulillah, we got a lot of lawyers. So Hazrat looked at him and told him, it seems as if though there's a lot of criminals and crooks in your community. That is why you need so many lawyers. Another person came and told him that we got so many doctors and he's proud of it. He said, yeah, looks like you've got sick people in your community. Like Mala Yunus Daya, when he came in his Jalsa, he said, unfortunately today, the norm is that each person now wants a psychiatrist. Every person now wants his independent and personal psychiatrist. And then he made his hand like this. Looks like everyone's going off the head. That everyone needs a psychiatrist. So yeah, a person should understand that this ill that a person has of this knowledge, it is as darurat. But it is as, like our Hazrat explains, as daruratu yuqaddaru biqadri zarura. That to the extent of being necessary, then it is necessary. How much it is necessary, that amount of knowledge you should have. But just like a person who goes to the toilet, and he does not take all the time there. But unfortunately, yeah, also, person sees written over there, restroom, and he takes a literal meaning and he really rests over there. And sometimes you find pioneers of magazines written over them. I saw one person having in his toilet a calendar. So I'm wondering why a calendar behind the door. So I'm thinking maybe he made this his office. One side he's planning, one side he's downloading. Allah knows best. So nevertheless, so these things, this is the dunya. So like how we are dependent on different professionals, we also should realize we are greater in need of the ulama. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Like when it came to sustenance and giving sustenance to people, different degrees, so many Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُوتُ الْعِلْمَ darajat. We have raised those people who have knowledge, those ulama, those people who have knowledge, Allah has given them that title, and Allah has reason that they degree. And yeah, also a person should go to the ulama. We are in need of the ulama. We see when a child is born, alhamdulillah, when a child is born, then they call Munisab, give azan in the right ear, iqamat in the left ear. Then tahneek, go to a pious person, alim as well. Then when the person gets for names, they come to the ulama, that what name is suitable. Then when the child becomes of age, then the alim will teach him in the maktab, make him a hafiz, make an alim. That same alim, inshallah, will make his nikah as well. And if death has to come, that same alim will perform his janazah. And then inheritance, then again you have to go back to the alim. So we are in need of the ulama all the time. And also with regards to our business, our dealings, etc., people will show you how to make the best investment in this world, where to make the best profit. But the ulama will show you to make the best investment, that is our akhirat, inshallah. Haji Bhai Paja Rahmatullah used to say also, that you're planning your house, you architect, you draw your plans, first show it to an alim. Because today's time, that the architect will draw a house and will show you which is user-friendly according to modern standards. But the alim will show you everything according to which is sunnah friendly, according to the simplicity of the sunnah of Islam, inshallah. And also, like our brother mentioned, that in our kitchen also the woman stands most of the time in the kitchen doing her work. Then over there also a person should make it either to the south or north so that sunlight can come in, so you can benefit from the sun, etc. So these things a person should go to the ulama. And what to say about our mashayikh, and we should make, on this point also, we should make a lot of qadr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us to this khanka, sitting in the company of a hazrat, who is not an alim also, but he's a shaykh, a kamil. He's a murabbi, he's a musli, our muzakki. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him with afiyat and lengthen his shadow over us for a long time. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, that al-akhillahu yawma idhin ba'dhum li ba'dhin adun illa al-muttaqin. That akhilla means they are bosom friends, who are very very close friends, closely knitted. On that day, that is on the day of Qiyamah, there will be enemies unto one another, except those who had taqwa, except those people who had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately today, that person wants to take you to evil, wants to take you to the discos, the cinema, the raves, and wants to cause a bad influence upon you, and tell you take a pull from this cigarette, and even worse, drugs, etc., then we regard them as our friends. And though other people who want to take you out in the path of Allah, or Jamaat, who want to bring you to the Khanka, and spend itikaf, etc., we regard them as enemies. What a topsy-turvy world. It is mentioned of an incident of Musanna Abdul Razak, where Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu has mentioned in a discourse that on the day of Qiyamah there will be two sets of friends. One set were good friends and the other were evil. So the good set of people who had good qualities, so when one of them had passed away, then he will go into Jannah. Then he will tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Oh Allah, in the world there was one friend of mine who used to always show me good. He always used to show me what is good. And, oh Allah, just as how he guided me, oh Allah, you keep him on guidance. Oh Allah, just as he showed me the benefits and the beauties of Jannah and the pleasures of Jannah, oh Allah, you also make him taste the pleasures of Jannah." Allah will tell him, "You don't worry, you will see how I will treat him after he passes away." And when this person passes away, when the souls meet, then they will talk to one another and they will say, "What a good friend you was." And he will give the same reply, "What a good friend you are." So make us among these people as well. But unfortunately then the other group of people, the evil person, will enter into hellfire. He will say, "Oh Allah, there was a certain friend of mine, he used to take me to all evil places, and he used to give me, influence me, do all these wrong things. Oh Allah, you disgrace him how you disgrace me. Oh Allah, you send him to Jahannam just like how you send me to Jahannam." And when this person will come into Jahannam, and thereafter this, both of them will curse one another. Allah save us from these two categories. So a person should understand that akhillah, that those bosom friends will be of benefit only of those who have taqwa. And also, unfortunately today, the young boys are taking to cigarettes. Like one boy who used to take his father's stompies and now started smoking. Now he became big, he said, "Now I want to buy my own cigarettes." So he goes to his local store, he buys a cigarette, but he looks at it, he sees over there that cigarette is very harmful for the lungs. So he said, "No, I don't want this." Then he takes another one, he sees very harmful for the heart. No, he says, he doesn't want this as well. Very addictive, he says, he doesn't want this. Then he sees another one that don't smoke while you're breastfeeding. He said, "Yeah, this is the one I want. That will happen to me." Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions one ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهُ هَوَامُ, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Have you seen those people who made the ilah?" In other words, they made the desires the ilah. They had worshipped the desires. In other words, they became obedient to the dictates and made their whims and fancies run very, very wild. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ, we cause them to become deviated in spite of their knowledge. In spite they had knowledge, where they were given knowledge from the ulama, the mashayikh, etc. But yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what had happened because of the becoming slaves of the nafs, وَخَتَّمَ عَلَىٰ سَمْئِهِ وَقَلْبِهِ وَجَعَلَ عَلَىٰ بَصْرِهِ غِشَاوَةً, Allah had sealed their ears, their heart, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had put a covering over the eyes. In other words, they couldn't see any good, couldn't hear any good, etc. So Al-Tastari rahmatullahi alayhi said that a person's ailment and sickness, that is his selfish desires is a means of his ailment and sickness. And then after he said that if you oppose them, it will turn into your cure. So it is very, very important that is why we need to sit in the company of the mashayikh, how to channel ourselves, how to go in that direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. That person who has fear that one day I'm going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he saves his nafs from all evil desires, then what will be his abode? فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَىٰ. Jannat will be his abode. Allah give us a tawfiq of controlling our desires and channeling it in the right direction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us steadfast on iman, inshallah. Ameen. Bismillah.